My message is, do you hear him calling? He's been calling ever since you were born. He's been calling you into a personal relationship with you. And I believe that because you're here today, you showed up. You didn't show up just for me. I know that would be nice, though. Just teasing. No, we showed up. I showed up because I believe that God had a word. He had a message. And what I'm coming to know is when we deliver the good news, when we deliver the message, it's like literally you got to keep delivering. It's like what my job at FedEx. Man, I have so many places to deliver, so many places to go to. And me, I want to run. I want to be fast and be quick. But I know sometimes you just got to take your time to share this message and share the vision and take in what he's speaking to you. And so I want to thank you guys for joining us. And my prayer is that you hear him calling and you hear his love and you hear his plan for you. Amen? All right, before we get started, let's go ahead and bow our heads and let's pray. So God, we just thank you for this time, God, to connect with you, to hear your voice. God, we just decree, God, that you have the highest name. God, we decree that your kingdom would come, your will would be done. God, you made us to worship you. You made us to have fellowship and relationship with you, God. You made us to hear your voice, to know you, to believe in you, God. For those that don't believe in you, that don't know you, God, help us to see your love today. God, if there's any obstacles or things that maybe have hindered that, God, remove those things, God. Your voice is the thing that shakes things. God, you're the voice is the thing that is firm. God, that is a foundation that we can trust, God, that is unshakable, Lord, that even though the earths and the heavens may shake, God, your voice, your word is a thing that is unshakable, God. And I just pray that you would speak to our hearts, God. Soften our hearts. Help us to hear what you have to say today. And we just say, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, if you have your Bible, we're going to be in the chapters 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 19. You can jump in, go ahead and turn to that. If you're online, you can turn to that as well. I'm going to go over some background before we get into this story. This is actually one of my favorite stories, too, about Samuel. And so in the days of the high priest Eli was a priest when in the judge, and he was a judge of Israel. He appeared in a sanctuary of Shiloh on a wonderful child. This is just a little insight. His name was Samuel. It was a dark and stormy time. There were fears within and fighting without. Israel was climbing a steep hill, adversely, painfully. Her progress was slow. She was alternatively worsted and victorious, and the struggle was more arduous. From the fact that there was no prophecy, it was an age of materialism. The hand of Moses were no longer lifted up on the mountain. The eyes of the field. There were few remains left at the heroic time when Joshua had fought for God and Deborah had sung for God. The nation had lost its poetry and lost its faith. These had to be rekindled anew at the lamp of heaven. Where was the new kindling to begin? Where was the divine spirit to touch the world once more? How many know our world needs a touch? In the heart of the sage? No, in the breast of an old man? No, in the leaders of a Jewish armies? No. It was to begin in the soul of a little child. Out of the mouth of a babe in knowledge, God was to ordain strength. That was a quote from George Matheson. In the past couple weeks, we've been talking about how our values, Pastor Brent hit on Spirit encountered last week and the following week, God's word is powerful. This week, I have the privilege of hitting on how prayer is foundational. And like you heard earlier, that we envision people developing an intimate relationship through a lifetime of prayer. What is prayer? Does anybody know? Talking to God. Yeah, it's our conversation. It's our communication in our relationship with God. And like I said, sometimes that looks differently. If some of you are parents, man, when you have your kids, some of those conversations with your kids looks different, okay? They're not always necessarily the funnest, but they're needed, okay? And so prayer is also, it's intimacy with our Heavenly Father. And sometimes intimacy is not shared in public, but it's shared in private. And during this time, I believe, like Pastor had said, that God is growing as steep, there's so many things that are happening around the world around us. But I believe God is wanting us to grow deep personally in our personal relationship with him. Amen? And so throughout Scripture and throughout this life of Samuel's mother, Hannah, we see these three things that prayer requires: faith, persistency, vulnerability, and opportunity to submit to God's will. I just want to go over some practical times just to bring up maybe what God's speaking to you. And, I mean, you can discern whatever God's speaking to you. Some practical times, though, are to pray, to seek God's face, maybe breakfast, lunch, dinner, bedtime, those, or maybe just good times to reflect and to pray. Mine is praying in the car on to work, and sometimes on my drive, sometimes as well. I think personally is the most importantly, but also with your husband and your wife and as a family and with friends. And so now we're going to go ahead and get started and dive into our scripture now that I've taken enough time. All right. In the life of Samuel, we'll discuss how his foundation was formed. It didn't just happen as for that little kid. It was a process, but someone made a way. Someone pioneered a way for him. And that was his mother. It was a dark time, though, where people were not hearing from God. People were not following God. People were not seeking his voice. People were not looking to hear from him. It was a really dark time and an evil time. The story of Samuel, it sums up in this, that he was God's answer to the prayer of a childless mother, Hannah, and was the answer to Israel's need for a prophet who would give guidance to people in their transition. They would transition from judges. And the people of Israel, they're like, okay, well, judges aren't helping us into following God, so we need a king. And so Samuel would be that transition period from judges to a king. He would be that transition point of being a prophet, too, a foundation where he would lay that he would be a prophet of God. To give you background of Samuel, Elkanah was his father. He would go up yearly to present his offering to the Lord. And during this time, like I told you, it wasn't a good time where they were following the Lord or following his standards or living by his standards. And we know this to be true because Elkanah had two wives. And that's not scripture at all. But we can presume in scripture, because Hannah's the first one that is recognized in scripture. So we can presume that she's the first one. But scripture says that she was barren. And in this culture and in the societies around her, they had said that if you did not have a kid, that you were pretty much worthless. Women found their value in their worth in having a kid to carry on the father's name. And if you didn't have it, then you were worthless. And I'm sure Elkanah, he could have resorted to God to being the solution, but he was probably, he succumbed and responded the way that the culture did. And he has another wife, it says, Peninnah. And Peninnah would be a woman who would be able to bear children and have many children. And so, but the Lord, it says this, it's interesting that the Lord closed Hannah's womb. I find that interesting. And I'm like, why? Why would God do something like that? Well, let's look at the context of what's going on. There's a culture that finds a worth, finds a value in a child, in having a child, and God doesn't want the woman in here, and maybe there's women that are watching, maybe there's women that have tried to have kids, okay? And I've heard some of my friends that are women that have blamed God for it, and I don't believe it's God's fault for doing that. I believe it's an opportunity to see what he desires more than just having a kid, that he doesn't want you to find your worth in having a kid. He wants to find your worth in your relationship with him. And so there was a great opportunity for Hannah to find her worth or value in something greater. And this, I know this was an opportunity because you see in the scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2, you see that Peninnah would be the woman that is provoking her. And she provoked her every time that Hannah would go to the Lord. Every time she would go to something that she viewed as valuable, her relationship with God, her enemy would provoke her to stop her in her tracks. Man, how many of you know that the enemy, he's trying to stop you from the very thing that God wants to do inside of you? He doesn't want you to have that personal relationship. But that didn't stop Hannah. She believed and she had persistence. She was dealt with bitterness, but she was one who searched for her wealth, dealt with bitterness in her heart and the taunting of the enemy. But she didn't quit. She didn't give up. And you see her faith, and you see her vulnerability as well, that she comes to God, and she says, okay, Lord, here's how it is. If if you give me a son, I'll give what I prize as valuable all to you. That's what she promised. She had faith, she had persistence, and she was vulnerable with God. Her heart was so open and so connected to the Lord through this season, through this time of testing, that she's like, God, I'll give you back, and you can have him all the days of your life, and he will serve you. She spoke promises and blessings over her son, that her son would serve the Lord. Man, if we prayed prayers like that over our children. So she comes to vow that, and Eli sees her. Eli's the priest at this time. And he has two sons that are evil at this time, Hophni and Phinehas. Oh, I'm probably out of the shot. Sorry. I'm probably doing a bad job of staying in the shot. I don't like to stay still. Sorry about that. Eli has two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And we know in the scripture that they're not following God during this time. This is an evil time. And they're abusing their holy role. They're abusing that. And that's because they don't know the Father. That's because they don't know his voice. They don't know him personally. Because if they did, they wouldn't be doing what they were doing. Some of them were sleeping around. Some of them were abusing the offerings and the sacrifices. Let's jump back to our story here about Hannah and Eli. Eli sees Hannah praying. She thinks he's drunk. He mistakes her for being drunk. And she says, don't take your woman as being someone valueless who's doing something like this. And she says, no, I'm crying out to the Lord. And man, it's interesting to me how Eli has the audacity to call out Hannah, who is crying out to God with a broken heart, but doesn't father his children who are doing something evil. It's interesting to me that he doesn't have that conversation that could save their lives. But he has the audacity to come to a woman who is seeking God. He corrects himself and blesses her, and she has a kid. And she names him Samuel. And in this third point here, what we learn from Hannah's life, that it's an opportunity to submit to God's will. And so there's a foundation that's laid for Samuel, because Hannah didn't have to give Samuel back to God. But we knew how intimate that relationship was based off of how she responded. She gave Samuel back to God. And not only that, she said a prayer, a prophetic prayer, and was sharing what was already going on in her heart. If you want to read 1 Samuel chapter 2, on your own time, you can see how Hannah has a deep personal relationship with God. And the one key verse I want to key in on here is this verse right here, that my mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. She didn't find her comfort in what her husband was bringing. Her husband would come to her and try to bring her comfort too, and she didn't find it there. You can't find it in a relationship. You can't find it in something that you have to bring or do. You have to find your relationship in the salvation that God gives to you, that he offers you. It's a free gift. And she found it. She said, there's none like you, holy like the Lord. There's no one beside you. There's no rock like our God. She was proclaiming what was happening in her heart. And that's what God wanted to do. That's what God was focused on. There was so much going on around her, but God was doing far more inside of her. And he would do far more through her son too, because she was willing to have faith, to be persistent, to be vulnerable, and submit to God's will. All right, now we're going to dive into Scripture. You guys ready? Well, not quite yet. So we'll go back to Eli's worthless sons here. God would recognize Eli's as worthless sons. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know the Lord. And because of that, like I told you, they were following these worthless things. When I didn't know the Lord, I was following some evil things. I was down a path, down a road that I didn't necessarily want to be down. But I didn't have an example. I didn't have a father to necessarily help me with that. Because how many know our fathers are supposed to lead that example? Okay, our pastors can do that, but pastors are good. Eli may have been a good pastor, but he struggled in the area of a father. And I know that to be true because he didn't submit to his father, his heavenly father. I know that to be true because When your kids do something, oh, parents always hear about it. Come on now. When I did something when I was younger, when I was, my mom keeps these. I don't know why she does, but she kept all of my referrals in kindergarten of all the times I did bad or stabbed some kid with a pencil or cut somebody's hair or wrote crayons on the table or ran around and kicked the security guard. She kept those because she thought that was funny. But I was trying to get smart and trying to hide all those things. I was like, I'm going to delete the phone call. I'm going to throw away the referral. I'm going to hide this. But parents, they find out. They know. They know when something bad is going on. And man, we need that guidance. Kids need that guidance of a father, of a mother, a father to correct them and discipline them. We need that hard talk to be like, you're going down a road that you don't want to go down. And it's going to lead in your spiritual death and your physical death. And that's what's going to happen to Eli's sons. And that's what happened to Eli. But while all this was going on, I want you to take note of this. While all this was going on, this is going to tie in with my point here too. I'm not going to go with it yet. I want you to notice back in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we see that Elkanah went home after Hannah had prayed. They gave Samuel to Eli. And what did he begin doing? He began ministering to the Lord in the presence of the Lord. As a young boy, he began seeking God's face. While Eli and his sons were not following God, Samuel, a little boy, beginning to wonder in awe of his heavenly Father, to know his heart, to seek him. And not only that, this is interesting. This is what I find interesting too, is that his mom continued to help make sure that that foundation was set, because each year he would have a linen ephod that would be placed upon him as a servant for the Lord, okay? And his mom would bring that a new one each year to make sure that that foundation, that value of prayer, that she views prayer important, seeking the Lord important, having an intimate relationship important, she would bring that each year to her little boy because she thought and viewed that it was important that you kept that relationship, Samuel. Well, Samuel's probably heard about Hophni and Phinehas. He could have been easily swayed, but he had his parents who supported that value, that prayer is foundational. He wasn't shook by the worldly culture. He could have been easily, any kid could have been looking up to an older priest, Hophni and Phinehas, but he wasn't. And so we also find in 1 Samuel that he was ministering, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, that he was ministering before the Lord. Once again, he was drawing near to God. Eli rebukes the sons, and he says that they're going to be put to death because of their sin. And it says in verse 26 of that chapter that Samuel would continue. We know that Samuel was not swayed because in Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, now the young man, Samuel, continued to grow both in stature and in favor with God and also with man. We knew what was happening inside of Samuel, that prayer was foundational through his life, because what was happening on the inside was coming out. He had favor. Favor is found in the presence of God. He was finding that first in his personal relationship with God. Amen? And so it came to a time where, Lord, he would reject Eli's sons, not because I don't believe he wanted to, but because his judgments, they were fair. They had to come across. If Eli didn't talk to his sons and restrain his sons like God wanted him to and have that hard talk, this was what's going to happen. And a prophet, it doesn't say who the prophet is, would come to Eli, and he said, your sons are going to die because they have done evil in the sight of the Lord. But he says this, and there's hope. There's evil going on, but there's hope because there's a little boy that is learning the wonder of, oh, I hear my father calling, but I don't know his voice yet. I don't know him yet. I'm seeking him. My mom has helped me on the way. I'm seeing favor. And this is what that prophet speaks to Eli. And this is the promise over the points that I'm going to share with you. I didn't even realize it. And so I looked back at it, at this verse, and I was like, whoa, there's the point. My points are in this scripture here. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35, God's promises, okay, he's going to take away. God's presence isn't going to go down Eli's family line anymore. It's going to be removed because he was not faithful with that. He was a good father. God was a good father to Eli, and he was not being responsible or a good steward of what God spoke to him, and so he had to discipline his son. And Eli never responded to it, but he said this. God said, "And I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall go out in and out before my anointed forever." Let's jump into our scripture here. There was a young man, Samuel, ministering before the Lord. He had positioned himself in the place where he was close to God's heart, where his heart was open, where he was seeking God, not just in this occasion in 1 Samuel chapter 3, but in this occasion specifically, okay, Eli had become old, Eli was blind, and it was the responsibility of the priest or the pastor, whoever was in charge of the lamp of God, to not allow it to go out if it was burning. If it was still burning, it was their responsibility to do that, okay? And so it wasn't necessarily a tent, it wasn't necessarily a building for the meeting place where they were meeting with God, but it was a structure where Samuel had positioned his heart to seek God. And that's my first point, that prayer is essential to draw near to God. Time and time again, Samuel had positioned his heart to hear from God. Scripture doesn't say that he heard from God in those other times. He maybe saw his favor, but he didn't hear from God. He didn't hear his voice yet. But they didn't stop him. And it says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. You want to know why that's true? And how that can be true for our lives too? It's because nobody's seeking him. Nobody's stopping to hear, God, what do you have to say in your word? God, I want to know your heartbeat. No, truthfully, they were selfish during this time. And truthfully, the same can be for us, even me. Man, I'm glad that God checks my heart sometimes when I'm selfish. And the way that we don't do that, God, I surrender. I want to seek everything that you have for me. I want to give my life. When we give our lives to him, we're saying, God, my life's not mine. I want to know you for an eternity. And I can know a new side of you each time. And like I said, this builds into my point. God said that he would raise up for himself a faithful priest who would know, who shall do according to what is in my heart and my mind. How do you know what's in someone's heart and their mind? You have to get close to them. You have to seek them. You have to ask questions about them. Samuel was pursuing the Lord. He was drawing near to God. God, what's in your mind? God, your thoughts are higher than mine. Your ways are higher than mine. What's in your heart? What do you want to do? As we move forward as a church, as we move forward in our personal relationship with God, God, what do you want to do? How do you want to move? And while we're doing that, we should seek him. We should draw near to him. Like Pastor Brent said, delighting in his word, but also praying to him, seeking him. And at that time, like I said, Eli's eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see. He was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not gone out yet. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Where the ark of God was represented God's presence. And like I told you, Samuel had positioned himself close to the ark of God, to the presence of God. He didn't know his voice though yet. And we know this in the first time he calls him. I didn't know God was calling me either when he called me for the first time. Then the Lord called Samuel and he said, you can imagine, Eli's laying down, Samuel's being faithful, self-disciplining himself, waiting until the lamp of God has gone out. And here's Samuel. And let's realize what's going on here. Eli cannot see, so he probably needs some care. He probably needs someone to take care of him. And so Samuel, who is faithful, is like, oh, okay, I'm coming, Eli. I got you. Whatever you need, I'm going to help serve you. And he runs to him. And Eli's like, what? What's going on here? Samuel, what are you doing over here? He said, I didn't call you. Go lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called Samuel again, and he rose and he ran to Eli and said, what do you need, Eli? I'm here. He had cared about Eli so much and was there to be for him and be at his need. And that reflected God's love for Eli, that God was still there for Eli. And the Lord called again, Samuel, Samuel, and arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He had been seeking the Lord, but he didn't know the Lord. He didn't know, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The word of the Lord called Samuel, and the Lord called Samuel again a third time when he went and lie down. And then Eli, like I told you, he's a good priest, he's a good pastor, he knows how to hear God's voice, but he's not necessarily honoring God's voice. So this is an opportunity for him to honor his voice and give Samuel an opportunity to know the Father. Because Samuel's like, I don't know what's going on. Eli perceives it now, and he's like, oh, I know this voice. I've heard this voice. I wasn't faithful to this voice. I wasn't obedient. All right, Samuel. When you hear him call you, this is what I want you to do. Don't do what I did. I messed up. I didn't teach my boys the way that I should have. But I want you to position yourself and say, speak, Lord. Give God the highest praise. Put him in the highest position. Tell him to speak and tell him to hear, to speak whatever he has for you. And tell him your rightful position, your servant is listening. Do what I didn't do, Samuel. I failed. Speak, Lord. Tell him, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. It was an opportunity for Eli to have redemption. But you can hear the heartbreak of a father that he'd failed his kids, that he let his kids down. It's an opportunity to teach a young boy, Samuel, to hear from God. And that brings me to my next point. Prayer is essential in the life of a parent and any of our lives to draw near to him. But you're going to hear what's in his heart when you draw near to him. You're going to hear what's on his mind when you hear him. You're going to know his love for you, and you're going to hear his voice. I know that to be true because it's happened in my life. And when you get close to his heart, there's nothing greater. There's nothing worth more than that. Let's keep going here. Then the Lord said to Sam, okay, here we go. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling as other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. And how true is that? Man, we read in Psalms 29, God does things that shakes things, that moves things. You're about to hear it. You're about to see it. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house. From beginning to end, I will declare to him I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. That's how I know that Eli was not a faithful father. Why? Because he was not submitting as a faithful son to his heavenly father. He was not obedient to what his father had spoken, and there was consequences. There was punishment because of that. I don't believe God wanted that. I don't believe that at all. But he didn't respond to his call. He didn't respond to that. And times God will speak to you personally, but the last time, usually, not always, but usually the last time God will come and speak to you, he'll send a person. I know this to be true because when I was at the retirement home, I wasn't living a godly life. And God had told me to get out of there. I didn't respond. And then my brother comes to me. He's like, you need to leave right now. You need to get out of there. And I was like, whoa. My ears literally tingled. I felt my spirit jump. I wasn't following God at the time. I had a relationship with him, but I was living a rebellious life. But I knew I needed to get out of there. Because if I kept down the road I would go down, that would lead to my spiritual death and my physical death. And that's what was going to happen to Eli and his sons. And that can so easily happen to any of us. If we're not obedient to God and what he's speaking to us, he'll be patient and kind with us. But there'll be a time where judgment will come. But I know God doesn't desire that because it says in his word that mercy triumphs over judgment. He desires to give mercy. But it's important that we turn away from our wicked ways to receive his mercy. And so this is what happens. I declare to him that I'll punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or by offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, till he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. I believe he was afraid, probably because this was his first time of hearing the Lord, of knowing his voice. And he's like, can you imagine hearing God and you going to tell someone that you are so close to that, hey, you and your family are going to die. Can you imagine that? That would not be easy. But let's take into mind, too, that Samuel had been serving Eli when he was a young boy. His heart was grown so close in his care for Eli. You can imagine that. He wasn't just afraid of sharing that word, but there was a care and a concern for Eli. There was God's love for Eli in the light of a little boy. He didn't want to tell him. He didn't want that to happen to him. But Eli called, and Samuel said, Samuel, my son, he said. Eli has a close relationship with Samuel too, and he knew that he heard from God because he knows God's voice. He said, here I am. And Eli said, what is it that he told you? Don't hide this from me, Samuel. I know what it's like to hide. I know what it's like to not do what God tells you to do. Don't hide this from me. If you hide this from me and you're not obedient to what God tells you, there's consequences. Samuel, please don't hide it from me. If you hide anything from me, then God will do more so to you. May God do so more to you and more also if you hide anything from me, that all that he told you. And my third point here is that prayer is an opportunity for us to hear, to seek God, to know him, to hear his voice, but an opportunity to submit to his will. Because how many know that, man, when you draw close to God, you're like, oh, I didn't think I was going to do it that way, God. I had a different mind. I thought I was going to get a Lamborghini and a mansion, and I wasn't going to have to work for the rest of my life and work really hard. This is what you have in store, God. This is your plan. This is, you want me to tell someone close to me something really hard. You want me to submit to that. Oh, this is hard, God. There was an opportunity. Just like Hannah, there was an opportunity to give Samuel back to the Lord. And Samuel was placed at a crossroad that would change the destiny of his life. Some of you may be at a crossroad where you can choose to follow God and submit to him or not. There's good consequences when you follow God. There's bad consequences when not. Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what he seems good to him. Eli responded humbly and he said, let him do what he seems good to him. He knew God was righteous. He knew God was a good father, and he knew that what was coming to him, it was from God. What drives me a little bit, we come from a place of judges. You see that God's word is, it's holy. It's set apart in our ways. It judges our ways. It makes you feel convicted, and you're like, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. Eli only knew him as a judge. He didn't know his Heavenly Father as a merciful God. Because I see in the life of Moses, when the Israelites don't follow God, and he says, God, have mercy on them. He knew God. Moses knew God as a merciful God. A merciful father, where he would want to forgive. And that was through his personal relationship with God. Eli doesn't cry out for mercy for him or his sons. But it says in Scripture, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as the prophet of the Lord. Samuel would be a foundation where he would bring, no longer, it wouldn't be judges, but a reign, a period of kings. Israel wanted a king, but they didn't recognize who their true king was already. Samuel was going to be the foundation, the voice, the mouthpiece who would guide Israel. We can be the mouthpiece to guide the world back to God guide our family back to God. But it first has to start with us. Us seeking him, drawing near to him. What does that look like for you? What does it look like to draw near to God for you? Is it praying in the morning? Is it praying at lunch? Is it praying at dinner? Is it thanking him at the end of the night for protecting you and looking out for you? What does that look like? Are we behind closed doors seeking him? Are we taking the time to hear his voice? You'll know this is true in the life of a believer because you'll see the fruit. You'll see the fruit of our lives. And that's not to condemn anybody. We're all here for the same purpose, to know God. And if you don't, there's going to be an opportunity to submit to his will. But I'm telling you, his will is good. It's perfect. It's acceptable. Because he offers the best gift in the entire world. And that's that free gift of salvation. If we could have the musicians come at this time. What is God speaking to you? What does that look like for you? Maybe he's speaking, hey, I want you to set aside time to pray with me, to know the plan that I have for you. But even when you don't hear me, keep seeking me, keep seeking me, keep seeking, keep running. This is how you know you're following God, when you're running towards him, when you are positioning yourself in a place where you are coming to church, where you're getting in a group, where you're hearing God's word, where you're worshiping, you're running towards him. When prayer is foundational, where you're taking delight in God's word, where God's word is powerful to you, it's going to show. All of it's going to show in your life. Maybe you've never heard God's voice, but you hear him calling you today. I don't believe you guys woke up for no reason. There's a purpose in it. I don't believe you guys got to church for no reason. I don't believe you're watching online for no reason. I believe there's a purpose. He's been calling you. Do you hear him? And today my question is, do you want to submit to his will? And know that his will is good. It's perfect. It changes you. If that's you and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe you have. But you're like, you know what, Andy, I don't need to know it. You can raise your hand if you want to. Or you can pray this prayer and it can just be between you and God. Because at the end of the day, that's what matters. It's just between you and God. If you need to get your heart right with God and God's sake, God, you're my Lord. What that means is you hold my plan. I surrender my life. I had to do this. I have to do this constantly, man. Man, I find myself failing daily. God, I need you. You're my Lord. You're the only one that can save me. If that's you, I want everyone with their heads bowed and their eyes closed and to pray this prayer with me. And to those of you that are watching online, you can pray this too. Say, dear God, please forgive us of our sins, of our selfishness. God, help us to hear you, to hear your calling of love, to know the free gift that you paid for us. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, to save us from our sins. But we thank you that death didn't hold you down. But by your Spirit, we can have life. God, would you show us this new life? We surrender and submit to you as Lord and Savior. And right now, we just say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. In Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, if you want to go ahead and stand to your feet, this is a song that I've stood with me as a young boy. I saw my mom and my aunt and my Nina worship God to this song, and it stuck with me. It was foundational. And it talks about God opening your heart. So I'm going to encourage you to open your heart. Don't harden it. Don't harden your heart. Allow the Father to speak truth and love in your life. Amen? God, that's the deepest cry of our heart, God, to see you. You made us to worship you. You made us to be in your likeness, Father. Would you help us to come back to a place where we're like little kids that look up to our Heavenly Father? We thank you for giving the life an example of Samuel. God, would we be like Samuel? God, would you raise us up to be a faithful priest and priestess who shall do according to what is in your heart and mind? And God, would you build us a house where we're in such close proximity with you that we hear your calling, that we hear your voice, and we don't want to run to the voice of a stranger, but we want to run to you, God. And would we know that your will is good, God, that would we be able to come in and out before the anointed forever, before our King forever, Jesus, and see his love and see his will, that it's good, that it's perfect, that it's acceptable. And would we submit as a servant and know that this life isn't about us, but it's about your love for us and the love that you want to show in us and through us as your children. God, right now I decree, God, if there's lies that have been spoken, if there's strongholds that have been over the lives of your people and you've heard their cry, God, I pray that you've heard them draw near to you and that nothing has changed. Lord, right now in this moment, there's power in your name, Jesus, that every high place and every stronghold has to come down in Jesus' name. I decree, God, that the stronghold that only would remain, God, is a place for your presence, a place that has such a grip of our heart, God, where there's a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness, for your word, for your truth, for a knowing and a belonging in your family, in your presence. And God, would you help us to pursue you and to submit to you, not just on a Sunday, but each and every single day. No matter what happens, no matter what season of life we go through, help us to know you and help us to hear you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. If there's any prayer requests, I'm going to go ahead and put my mask on. But if you guys have any prayer requests, I want to encourage you. I'd love to pray with you. But if not, we want to tell you, have a blessed week, and I want to encourage you to seek God and look what he has for you, because he has some good things in store for you. Amen? Amen. You guys have a good week.